A report out yesterday from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism describes the lack of treatment and medication provided for inmates, ex-inmates, after being released from prison.
With a large number of inmates dealing with mental illness, the difficulty finding proper care can land some of them back in jail or prison. Here with us to talk about the report is Nora Hurdle. She's a reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Nora, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So how common is mental illness among these inmates that we're talking about?
Some of the most recent statistics, well, this in my story, I have a statistic in there stating that about a quarter of the prisoners in the Wisconsin system are taking psychiatric medication.
So what happens when they're released? They're getting this medication, I gather, while they're incarcerated. What happens when they leave?
It depends on whether they're leaving a county jail or the state prison. When you leave the state prison, you get 2 weeks of your psychiatric medication and then a month prescription that you can fill in the community. If you're leaving jail, a lot of times you get a lot less than that. Some jails give as little as 3 days of medication.
So is it after that period just a simple thing to go out and get those prescriptions renewed, or is that when that prescription runs out, that's when we start to see issues?
It's not really a simple thing to get renewed. When someone is in prison or jail, a lot of times if they were on Medicaid, they would get kicked off that while they're incarcerated. And then when they're released, they have to get signed back up with insurance. A lot of times they leave without or they're in prison and they leave and they don't have a doctor in the community. If they don't have a family member to help them get connected with county health services or get back connected with their doctor, that makes it really hard for them to keep on track of their medical needs.
And they've got a lot of competing needs to deal with often. I think you put out in your piece, housing and food might be the first things on their radar, and trying to track down a source to renew that prescription might not be up there.
Right. Some of the advocates that I talk to really think it's important to address all of the life areas that someone has, you know, your community, your shelter, your job. And a lot of times mental health care is just not a top priority.
So those 6 weeks run out, I guess, 2 weeks of prescription, 4 weeks of medication, of prescription then at best, then what? They're out of their medicine.
Right. A lot of these, this population ends up going to the county for health care. The counties have an obligation when people have a certain medical needs, they have to meet them. But a lot of the counties in the state have wait lists. Some of them extend several months. Some of them extend several weeks.
And so I guess the big question here is, going untreated, not getting these medications, is that leading people ultimately back into prison?
In some cases, I think definitely that's the case. You know, a lot of people who end up in the prison system before that, they didn't know that they had a mental illness. So they go in and they get diagnosed and they start getting treatment there. But, you know, they had a mental disorder before they got in, and maybe they were treating it with alcohol or street drugs. And when they get back out again, they don't have the network to get proper health care, so they might go back to drinking and using drugs and other criminal activities to balance what is imbalanced in their own bodies.
And that's one of the more alarming things I saw in your piece, that for some of the people we're talking about, street drugs, illegal street drugs, are more accessible and more affordable than the prescriptions that they had when they came out of prison.
Yeah, mental health drugs, pharmaceuticals are, it's a big business. Those are expensive medications in a lot of cases. And a few of the people that I talked to for this story who have been in this situation, who were incarcerated or are incarcerated and have mental health problems, they have a hard time paying for their medications.
And you did talk to a couple of people in this situation, as you mentioned. What kind of stories did you hear from them?
I talked to one man who is currently incarcerated. He is in prison now. I talked to him when he was in jail. He has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. He's 51. He's got agoraphobia and depression. He was being treated in the community, and he lost his Medicaid coverage. and started drinking again, and that led him down this road of crime, and that's how he ended up back in prison. And he's afraid that when he gets out, he's not going to have the community health care that he needs to stay out of trouble.
So are there, outside of the state, are there groups around Wisconsin trying to help this transition, help ease the transition from getting medication in prison to finding it in the outside world?
Yeah, there's a lot of advocacy groups. I talked with a few of them. There's the Demeter Foundation in Madison that helps female offenders. There's this group called Infallible Helping Hands in Milwaukee that does the same thing for female offenders. Madison Area Urban Ministry. There's groups in the Fox Valley. There are also state and federal efforts to address this problem. There's an annual $10 million allocation to reduce recidivism, and some of that money goes towards inmates that have mental illness and easing that transition. So Greenlight County, for example, has a grant from that fund, the Becky Young Fund, and there's a lot of communication between the county jail and the county health and human services, and they're trying to get people having a seamless of a transition between the jail and the community.
I don't know if you looked into this, but is Wisconsin alone here, or are other states contending with some of the same issues?
I talked to the mental health director of the DOC, and he said that this is an issue that every state has. You know, how much medication do you give someone when they're about to release? And you know, you really have to rely on the counties to pick up the slack once they're out of the system.
Is there any movement at the state level to try to tackle some of these problems, make psychiatric help, make prescribers more available to inmates, ex-inmates?
Well, the Robin Voss, the Speaker of the House, he had a task force to address some mental health issues across the state, and they have recommended that state grants be given to encourage psychiatrists to move to underserved areas of the state. And that is something that might help this particular population. So it's on the radar. There was a report in 2009 that said there needed to be more mental health programs to reduce recidivism, because when someone has a mental health issue and they're not being treated, it's a revolving door in and out of the prison or jail system.
Anything else that you heard from the state apart from, you know, from the Department of Corrections head, apart from that other states are dealing with this issue?
Well, I mean, I heard the same thing from the Department of Health or from our DHS that, you know, a lot of it falls on the counties and the state is doing what they can. But I heard from the counties that budgets are tight and demand is high. So even though the state and, you know, some federal dollars are going into this, there's a lot of demand.
All right, Nora, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Nora Hurdle, reporter at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Her article out yesterday is called Mentally Ill Ex-Inmates Lack Treatment and Meds.